We're thankful very much that you're here tonight. We ask you if you would please at this point in time to mark number 668 as an invitation song at the close of my presentation tonight. But Ben will do his preaching and teaching about things, and then he'll step aside and let me come up to speak. And that'll be good. 668, come to Jesus. He will save you. And if you'll turn back to number 76, we'll start with number 76 tonight. We'll ask Brother Travis to please lead us in a word of prayer after this song, and then the next sound that you'll hear will be Brother Ben McCree from Coffeyville. 76. Let's do the first, second, and fourth verses. I'll do all in the name of the Lord. Whate'er ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Do not in name of man or creed, do all in the name of the Lord. Do all in his name, do all in the name of the Lord. In word or deed, God is decreed, do all in the name of the Lord. Be not deceived by worldly greed, do all in the name of the Lord. The Spirit says in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Do all in his name, do all in the God has decreed, do all in the name of the Lord. Till toils and labors here are done, do all in the name of the Lord. Dear Christian friends, if you'd be one, do all in the name of the Lord. Do all in his name, do all in the name God has decreed, do all in the name of the Lord. Brother Travis will lead us as we pray.
And let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for this day that you blessed us with. And Father, we're so grateful that we have our health, that we could be here. Father, we love you, and Father, we thank you for your love. Father, we just pray that you continue to bless this congregation. Father, we pray for the members of this church. Father, we are mindful of those that we know are sick and hurting, especially Miss Jo at this time as she's in the hospital. Father, we pray that you be with her, comfort her, and heal her. Father, we do fall short sometimes, and when we do, Father, we pray that you forgive us for that. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. For Ben McCree from Coffeyville.
It's a blessing and delight to be with you this evening. This is the second time that I've had the opportunity to come here to Crockett Church of Christ and be with the brethren here and open up God's Word, and it's such a blessing to have the opportunity to do that this evening. I want to say, number one, share some good news with you. I became an uncle once again today, as my sister and brother-in-law had their little girl, Margaret Lucille Cox. And she is 8 pounds, 11 ounces, and 20 inches long, I believe I have it right. And so her and mom and dad are doing good. And so we are thankful and rejoicing over the new gift of life that God has blessed us with. Also, I'd like to say as well that prior to this evening, Brother Robert told me, I'd like to get you to come speak. And I, of course, said, no problem. I'm looking forward to it. And he said, now it's going to be about 20 to 25 minutes, and I will tell you, it's very hard to put a time limit on a gospel preacher. Uh-huh. I heard an old preacher once say that, asked him how long it would take him to prepare, and he said, well, how long do you want me to talk? And they said, well, How long is it going to take? And he said, well, if you want me to talk for an hour, he said, I'm ready now. If you want me to talk for 30 minutes, it'll take me a week. And if you want me to talk for less than 10, give me a month. And so it's very hard to get in all that you want to say in just a matter of time, but I'm certainly going to try to do my best this evening. The title that I've been given to present this evening for the sermon is Preaching to Others Decently in Order. And in order. There is no greater task that one can undertake than to preach the whole counsel of God to others. We're talking about the ability to announce to others, that is, proclaiming aloud the gospel message. I am convinced that it is the most rewarding thing that we can do as Christians, to share the will of God with souls and to win those souls for Christ. This is the most pivotal work of the Christian. It is the primary work of the church, which encompasses all aspects of righteous living and faithful service. There will never be a time when the gospel message, the word of God, will not need to be preached. Though it seems for some as if solid and sound gospel preaching has somewhat seen its last days. You see, many attempts have been made throughout the recent years to try to develop some sort of new preaching style or new method. And one of the most recent attempts is emphasized in many congregations of the Lord's church, where we have more what is called narrative preaching, and that is what is sought by these congregations. And in this narrative preaching, we see use of less scripture. This is where the speaker will take the word of God, he will have a passage, and he will merely skim over the biblical text. He'll paraphrase drastically. He'll insert multiple personal life experiences. And this, like I said, is sought to be more of a motivational speech for the audience. Pray tell, I ask this evening, how can one say that they are declaring the whole counsel of God and have it to be their endeavor to limit scriptures from the word of God to a minimum? Jesus himself has said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8, 31 through 32. The attitudes of preachers today should be patterned from the examples of preachers we find in Scripture. Amen? We look to those examples, and when we see those examples, we understand that preachers today should diligently study the Word of God. They should use references from Scripture to back up and to support their sermons. They should believe the Scriptures alone are sufficient, and they should condemn the creeds and the doctrines of men. They should bear the mindset of the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 9:16, Paul says, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. They need to preach with a sense of urgency. The only kind of preaching that pleases God is the preaching of things of which God has bid us to preach. If our Creator has declared in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, I am the Lord, I do not change. And then we see later on in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 13, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then preaching decently and in order, friends, does not change. Preaching the word of God indeed calls for the very use of that which God has spoken. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. So to abide in the word of Christ, we have to understand that we are most certainly to speak as the oracles of God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. And when we do so boldly. Ephesians 6, verse 20. Preaching to others is the largest platform by which this is done. It demands diligent attention for detailed application through Scripture. Preaching, no doubt, still holds its position as the chief tool by which the truths of God are embedded in the hearts of men. Philip Brooks has said, preaching is the communication of truth by man to men. And so as we consider this evening preaching to others, we have to grasp the concept of doing so decently and in order. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40. To proclaim truth. Why? Because knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. 2 Corinthians 5:11. To persuade the souls of men, we must cling to the words of Paul to young Timothy, where he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and 2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. A.J.F. Barron says, we preach to persuade men, and the secret of persuasion is the impact of a soul upon soul. So then we ask, how then do we persuade the souls of men decently and in order? Simply put, but boldly put, we preach the cross. We preach the cross. The purpose of teaching and preaching should always be the cross. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1:17, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, that is, of his own, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Paul, a chosen vessel, Acts 9:15, was charged to preach the message of the gospel, that is, the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. But Paul continues on in the next verse, 1 Corinthians 1:18, where he says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. We today are charged with the same task. We, a chosen people, the people of God, 2 Peter 1, 9-10. We have to understand that we are to preach the same message. That is, the power of God to salvation, Romans 1:16, to preach the riches in Christ. It is Him that we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, Colossians 1:18. The way in which we do this, though, is 100% solely by the Word of God. For Jesus Himself has said that God's Word is truth, John 17:17. And we know that God has given to us all things that pertain to life and to godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by the glory and virtue, 2 Peter 1:3. Therefore, with us stating the facts of truth, if we are to preach the facts of truth decently and in order, it warrants our attention so that we may be an effective soul winner for the Lord. We should be as said of the church in decades past, and some of you may remember this, when members of the Lord's church were referred to as Bible-toting and Bible-quoting people. We share the good news with all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all things the Lord has commanded, Matthew 28:19-20. But it begins with opening up the Word of God, and in a sincere and loving manner, sharing truth in a world of error, showing how the world in sin can find forgiveness. Every time that we begin to preach and teach, there are three agendas by which we initiate carrying out our charge to declare the gospel. If you have your Bibles with me this evening, and I hope that you do, if you will turn with me to Ecclesiastes 12. We'll be looking at verses 9 through 14, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. This is the last chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, and we'll be looking at the last few verses there. What we will see, and as we go through the rest of the lesson this evening, are the three agendas that we're talking about in preaching and teaching. And we will gather that from these verses we find that Solomon writes, again, Ecclesiastes 12, 9 through 14. The first agenda that we have to point out this evening is that we are to inform. By presenting truth, a contrast must be shown to properly inform the curious mind and heart of the listener. Notice what Solomon writes in verse 9. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. Solomon, being wise himself, sought to teach the people knowledge. He carefully thought out. He carefully pondered over what he was going to say. He searched out many proverbs to relay wisdom to the people, to inform the people. Although we might say that we are well versed in Scripture and we have years and years of study, we still must take the time to carefully set in order the message that we bring. We must align our thoughts in informing others of the good news of the gospel. But for us to say this evening that there is a good news, to say the term good news, it specifically implies that there is bad news. You see, we need to be transparent in teaching and preaching. We have to show the listener, we have to show the one that's sitting in the audience, that's living the worldly lifestyle, the consequences of sin, that spiritual death awaits those who are guilty of such, Romans 6:23. We have to show that sin separates the soul from God and fellowship in Christ, Isaiah 59:2, 1 John 1:7. That anything which defiles or causes an abomination or is a lie will not enter into heaven, Revelation 21:27. We do this, though, brethren, by reasoning through scriptures. Acts 17:2. We can look at Acts 9:29 and find then that it is proper to discuss. It is proper to debate. It is proper to contend over the gospel. The hearer must, in fact, be informed of the condemnation of error. Many seem to overlook that small word that Paul list to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2, where he tells Timothy exactly how to preach the gospel. And that one little word that many like to overlook is rebuke. This means with conviction, bring to light, to expose and to refute false teachers of false doctrine, to call to account and show one his fault, demanding an explanation. You see, God's people have the obligation to expose and refute false doctrine and call sinners to account. We need to expose the unfruitful works of darkness, as Paul writes in Ephesians 5:11, so that folks can understand what in fact is error in contrast to the truth that we are proclaiming. The intent, though, is not to belittle. The intent is not to degrade the soul, because we have to understand, just like the faithful soul, that lost soul is also an object of the love of God, John 3:16. Yet error is exposed to enlighten one in knowledge of how to walk in the path of the Lord's commandments and delight in it, Psalm 119:35. We do this honestly. We do this truthfully. We do this humbly. And as I said earlier, we do this lovingly in order to produce. Produce is actually our second agenda. The first being informed, it is to produce as the second one. You say to produce what? To produce faith. Solomon continues in Ecclesiastes 12:10-11. He writes, "The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd." Solomon reiterates again here in the text that he chose carefully acceptable words, that what he wrote was upright and it was true. It's like the world-renowned chef preparing a meal. If we were to sit down at a table, go to a high-class, highfalutin, as we say, high-fancy restaurant, and we sit down and there's a world-renowned chef preparing a meal, and we're getting ready to digest that meal, and he makes sure that meal is just right on that plate or that platter, and right before he brings it out, he places a sprig of parsley on top. Good and wise preachers are doing just that, with choosing their acceptable words. The Word of God, friends, is food to be digested. It provides a spiritual food by which we are to be filled. Jesus said in Matthew 5:6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." He then concludes later, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst," John 6:35. The message that we take into a world of sin must be woven with the fabric of the gospel of Jesus Christ to produce the faith that is needed to respond to Him. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, it's as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, be reconciled to God on Christ's behalf. The faith that is produced by the message that we preach, though, comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Our Savior has said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. John 6, 44 through 45. You see, the teaching of wise men, they are like sharp, pointed instruments. It is plain, it's direct, but it's convincing. Solomon, as we read in verse 11, mentions well-driven nails. If you can imagine driving a nail into a board, what does that provide for that board? Whatever you're fastening that board to, it provides stability. And so when we look at the term well-driven nails and we consider preaching decently and in order to others in the world around us, we have to state, therefore, that stable preaching and teaching of the Word of God provides for stable minds and hearts in the Lord. Solomon says, though, in verse 12, as we continue in our text, and further, my son, be admonished by these. This means be firmly warned. To be earnestly advised of the words of which Solomon is sharing. Faith produced by way of truth being properly proclaimed will fulfill the intent of our duty as Christians, as disciples of Christ, to number one, edify the hearer, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Edify how? The message will comfort the soul and build up one's will. It will strengthen the soul in times of sorrow. It will inspire one's response to the Savior's invitation. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Romans 14:19. The other aspect of our duty to restore the erring. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. James 5:19-20. How important it is when preaching to others, we encourage those souls who have wandered away to return to the fold. Jesus offered a parable on this very matter. He says in Matthew 18:12-13, what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains and seek the one that is strayed? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over the sheep than the 99 that did not go astray. How wonderful it is to save an erring brother or sister from their wandering in darkness, to have them return to the light that is found in Christ. 1 John 1:7. And watch that erring brother or sister renew their faith in the Lord and become even more strengthened to do His will. You see, to preach decently and in order ultimately rests upon the final agenda that we will point to this evening. The agenda of the message that we bring to others, and that is to encourage. Encouragement in the message is seen underlining each topic of discussion so that the soul may understand and adhere to the very thing that Solomon continues with in our text from Ecclesiastes 12. Look at verse 13 with me. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. The whole of man is summed up here in two imperatives. The first, to fear God. That means simply to be reverent, to show Him the respect that He deserves. The second is to keep His commandments, simply put, to obey Him. Folks, these are the basic elements which make for a full and happy life in the Lord. But notice what Solomon concludes with in verse 14. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Jesus has said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but who? Those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. We are to encourage Christian living, to encourage righteous living, to encourage living for the Lord and faithful service to Him. This is done with the realization that not everyone is going to heaven. It will be only those who have obeyed the commandments of the Lord and have lived a life in faithful service to Him who will receive the crown. Revelation 2, verse 10. Peter says, but also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly love. To brotherly love, or brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 5:8. Jesus has offered an invitation to all mankind, to every soul, no matter nationality, no matter status, no matter race. And we see that from Matthew 11:28-29. You seek to preach decently in order, and in order, we would fail miserably if our message preached did not ultimately conclude with the fact of the Savior's love for each one of us. I heard an old preacher say back years ago, we're all sinners, yet we're either lost sinners or we're saved sinners. That's the difference. Those who have found salvation in the Lord and have obeyed His gospel would be doing a disservice to our Savior if we did not encourage, in truth, a soul to repent and turn to Him. To put it maybe more clearly for us this evening, through a paraphrase of D.T. Niles, he says, we are just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. By preaching in truth, decently and in order, we can inform and the listener of the error of their sin, yet also inform them of the peace that is found in Christ. We can help in producing faith in those who believe and will obey. And we can encourage the soul to act upon their faith where they can indeed find the bread of life, Jesus Christ. John 6:35. Man is the channel by which God's plan of redemption through Jesus Christ is proclaimed to other men. Just as the Ethiopian eunuch said to Philip in Acts 8 when Philip came upon the chariot, and the Ethiopian eunuch was reading the passage there of Isaiah 53, and Philip walked up to him and says, do you understand what you read? What did he say? How can I unless someone guides me? With the charge that we have been given, we are to preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16:15. We are to guide the lost soul to the gospel light through the message that we bring, preaching to them the Christ who died once and for all sins, 1 Peter 3:18. As we consider preaching decently and in order this evening, let us carry forward preaching the gospel as so charged, as our duty, and inform. Inform the sin-sick world that a day is fast approaching, a day when we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad, 2 Corinthians 5:10. Let us also help produce. Produce a solid faith by which souls are obedient, Romans 16:26. It is the foundation which produces righteous living, faithful service to the Lord, a lifetime of service rests upon how strong our faith is. And let us never waver to encourage others to distance themselves from the wicked works of a world that is torn apart in sin and much error, and seek first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33. Encourage them to live a life faithfully unto the Savior Jesus Christ, to be clothed in Christ, to be obedient to his commandments, where Jesus has said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." To put on Christ, because we know that it's only through him that we can find forgiveness of sins. Doing this, we continue to preach decently and in order. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? If you will bow with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful this evening to have the opportunity to open your word, to study together, to find understanding of what your will is for us in our daily lives and our daily service to you. We are thankful, Heavenly Father, for the brethren that are here at the Crockett congregation. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you continue to bless them in their efforts to preach the gospel, to preach decently and in order to the community around them. We humbly ask, Father, for strength and for wisdom, as we all realize it is our duty as faithful servants and as the church to bring souls to Christ. We know that the forgiveness of sins is only found through your Son. And so we pray, Father, that we may be diligent in preaching the gospel, so that we may inform others of your commandments, of your love, but also of your wrath that awaits those who do not obey. We pray that we may effectively and favorably proclaim the good news to all souls that we come in contact with on a daily basis, sharing how they too can find salvation. We pray, Father, that through courage and boldness, we may help to produce an immovable faith in many around us, in many souls, and continue to encourage and strengthen those souls in their walk of holiness and service. Father, we pray that you help us to overcome the daily obstacles that may persist. Help us in our service to you, that we bring glory to your name in all we do in the work of the kingdom. We thank you, Father, for your complete word, which brings joy to so many who seek after you and long to serve you and love you. Most of all, Father, we thank you for your word that dwelt among us in Jesus. And we are sincerely thankful for the sacrifice that he made, the debt that he paid for all sin, so that in him we may have the hope of eternal life in heaven with you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, can the church say amen to the things that we've heard and been taught this evening? What a blessing it is. Thank you, Brother Ben, very much.